Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of Scripture for a meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 10, beginning with the 24th verse. This is our Gospel for today, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. You may be seated. Dear friends of Christ, Peter, crucified upside down in Rome about 68 AD. His brother Andrew hung in Greece. James, the first disciple to be killed, the only one recorded in the Bible, was beheaded by Herod Agrippa I about 44 AD as he was preaching in Judea. Philip, crucified upside down. Bartholomew, it seems, was flayed alive and then crucified upside down. James, the son of Alphaeus, was stoned to death by Jews in Jerusalem. Judas, the son of Alphaeus, otherwise known as Thaddeus, was put to death in Persia along with the disciple Simon the Zealot, also put to death in Persia. That's what church tradition, or really church history, tells us about the demise of the disciples. Three of them we didn't mention. We're not sure exactly how Matthew died. Judas Iscariot, of course, betrayed Jesus and hung himself. And John, well, he was banished to the island of Patmos for many years in his life. It seems as if he was the only disciple who did not die a martyr's death. All these martyrs, all these followers of Christ were killed for their faith, for believing in Jesus. And we could add more. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, stoned to death. You have John the Baptist, also put to death for confessing the truth. You think about all these martyrs. You think about all these people who died because of their faith, who suffered because of their faith, and that might scare you a little bit. If all these things happen to all these people, all these great men, then what is going to happen to us? But today, God tells us we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of spreading the gospel before men, and we don't have to be afraid of the eternal condemnation that we deserve when we fail to spread the gospel. Our text for today begins with Jesus saying, "A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master." Jesus, Rabbi, he's our teacher, and we, like the disciples or pupils or students, are students of God, students of Christ. We're not any better than Christ. And look what happened to Jesus. Betrayed by one of his students. Arrested and tried by his own countrymen. Beaten, spit upon, crowned with thorns, flogged. Crucified by the ones who were supposed to protect his life. Put to death on a cross along with two common criminals. How they mocked him when he called himself a king. They accused him of blasphemy when he called himself the Son of Man. And if they said these things about Jesus, what are they going to say about us? Now, the same thing. If the head of the household has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? And if they thought those things about Christ, if they did those things to Christ, what do they think about his followers? The same thing. A few verses before our text, Jesus warned his disciples, "All men will hate you because of me." A similar warning he gave in John 15. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. A student is not above his teacher. So if they hated Christ, they'll hate you. Those disciples, those students of Jesus, they suffered. No, they're nailed upside down on crosses. They're beheaded. They were hung. They were stabbed to death. Others stoned to death. Peter and the other followers of Christ, they were imprisoned. They were beaten. They were flogged. Exiled. Much more. Those apostles, those early Christians, and Christians for centuries have suffered through all sorts of persecution. Even Christians throughout the world and other parts of the world today still face persecution, even death, because of their faith. And we face persecution. We get mocked and ridiculed. Oh, because of our faith or expressing our faith, we might lose a friend or two, or might lose some respect at our job, or maybe get made fun of by a professor. They might call us stupid or gullible or intolerant. We all face persecution in our own little way. But let's be honest. The persecution we face is nothing like the persecution the apostles faced. They faced all sorts of kinds of physical pain. They died in many painful and agonizing deaths. Each and every time they confessed Christ, they put their lives on the line. What we face today is nothing like what the apostles faced. It pales in comparison to what other Christians have to go through in other parts of the world. And yet, in the face of this small little bit amount of persecution, we keep our mouth shut. How embarrassed we ought to be. How ashamed of ourselves. You think back of that opportunity you had, and you have no excuse. You had the perfect opportunity to tell someone about Christ, but you didn't do it. You blew it off. You changed the subject. You kept your mouth shut and your faith to yourself. It's almost as if you didn't want to talk about Christ. Almost as if you didn't want people to know that you were a Christian. And now looking back, you hang your head in shame and disgust. Why? You ask yourself, why didn't I tell someone about the forgiveness and eternal life that Christ gives to all people? You try to offer excuses at first. Oh, it wasn't the right time or place. I didn't have enough time to talk. I just didn't know what words to say. You offered other excuses. But you know the real reason. You kept your mouth shut because you were afraid of what they might say or how they might react. You don't want them to make fun of you. You don't want to cause an argument or offend someone by expressing your faith. You didn't want to get in a long conversation with your neighbor who's kind of annoying. You don't really like to talk to him that much. What were you afraid of? Your reputation. Maybe a friendship. You were trying to spare yourself of a potentially awkward conversation. It's not like you were trying to protect your life. It's not like you were trying to protect the lives of your loved ones. And even if that were the case, it would still be a bad excuse, because then you'd be choosing your life and the life of your loved ones over the eternal life of someone else. And you'd be choosing that over God and His Word. Now, you fail to share the message of Christ's forgiveness and the eternal life that He gives to us simply so that your life could be a little bit easier. But three times in our text for today, Jesus said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of men and what they might think of you. The second time is recorded for us in verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Don't be afraid to spread the gospel before men. What can they do to you? They can make fun of you. They might cause you to lose your job. They may never want to talk to you again. They could imprison you. They can beat you. They can torture you. They can even kill you. But they cannot touch your soul. They can do you no real harm. They might make you suffer for the rest of your life, but they can't do any long term. They can't do any eternal damage. So there's nothing to fear about what they might think of us or say about us or do to us. Plus, God is always with us. He's still watching over us. He's still protecting us. As he pointed out, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than sparrows. God knows us more than we know ourselves, even the number of hairs on our head. He knows what others say about us. He knows what others may do to us. He knows what others may think about us. Just as he knows the sparrows, and just as he cares for the sparrows, he will care for us. Protect us and take care of us. Nothing happens to us that he does not will. So then we can say along with the psalmist of Psalm 118, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? We don't have to be afraid of men. But Jesus also warns us to be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Man can only harm the body, and it is God who condemns the soul. And then Jesus warns in verse 33, whoever disowns me before men, well, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Those who fail to profess Christ, those who fail to tell others about him will be condemned. Because Jesus won't be pleading their case before God. He won't back them up in any way. And as we've already discussed, we constantly fail to profess Christ. We are disown him again and again. If we disown Christ, Christ says he will disown us. Well, that's what we all deserve then. We all deserve to face God without the help of Christ. We all deserve then God's wrath and punishment. We all deserve eternal condemnation. That's the price we ought to pay. And yet we don't have to be afraid of being eternally condemned because that's what Christ did for us. It was on the cross that Christ took all our sins upon himself. And since he became numbered with the sinners, he was forsaken by God, rejected by the Father who wanted nothing to do with Jesus. It was then that Jesus suffered through the pain and agony of hell as he was separated from God and his love. The eternal punishment that we ought to pay for all our sins, that we ought to pay for not professing Christ, that's what Jesus paid for on the cross. And he gave us his perfect obedience. His life is now credited to us. When God looks at us, he sees us not as who we are, not as what we have done, but on who Christ is and what Christ has given us. And every time then that Christ obeyed God, it's as if we obeyed God. The times that Christ confessed the truth is given to us. The times that he told others about his love and the love the Father has for all people, it's as if we had done so. So in the eyes of God, we are now perfect and holy. But Christ doesn't just take away our sins. He didn't just give us his perfect life. He also serves as our intercessor before God. He pleads our case before the Father. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. right now, Jesus is speaking your name in heaven. He's bragging to the Father about all the great things you have done, all the times that you have obeyed Him. He tells them about the hours, the countless hours you spent teaching your children prayers, or reading them devotions, or taking them to Sunday school and worship services. He tells them about the time you comforted your friend at the death of a loved one, or invited your neighbor to join you at church. Or how you took your hard-earned money and gave it back to Him, gave it to missions to support the spread of the gospel. Your name resounds in heaven, echoing throughout the halls of Zion. And when God responds with your sins, about pointing out the times that you failed to obey God, but you failed to spread the gospel, it is Jesus points out the times that He obeyed the gospel for you. Times that He had covered over your sins. The times that He professed the gospel in your place. So God sees not the bad you have done, the good you have failed to do. He sees what Christ has done for us in our place. So we don't have to be afraid of that eternal condemnation that we deserve, because Christ has taken care of it for us. So we can't help but respond. We can't help but tell others about the life and the love of Christ. So we profess Him. From the rooftops we shout His name. We, on the street with our neighbor, in the living room of a loved one, we just can't help ourselves telling others about the One who loves us and protects us, for the One who forgives us, for the One who pleads our case before the Lord. So let us profess the name of the Lord before men. And we can worry about the consequences later. Or really not worry about the consequences at all, because what can man do to us? It can only kill us. They cannot touch our soul. They do not decide where we spend eternity. But God does. So we worry about what He thinks about us and not what about others think about us. He is the one who condemns the soul. But He is also the one who saves the soul by sending Jesus to suffer for us. So there is no reason to fear men, but God. And not to be afraid of God, but we fear God by giving Him our honor and respect. Jesus prophesied to His disciples that all men will hate you because of Me certainly came true. They suffered and died for the sake of spreading the gospel and confessing the truth. Let's follow their example. And willing to put our comfort and our lives aside for the sake of the truth. And in doing so, we'll follow in the footsteps of Christ, who was persecuted, who died, and yet who rose from the dead. And through faith in Him, we too will rise from the dead. No matter what man may think of us, no matter what man may do to us, we will be in heaven, singing the praises of all His, with all His other witnesses. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.